transcribed.
Time presents Arizona Close-Ups, Curtis Street, where you find quality radio and television audience, both in the capital city of Arizona, and currently active in her work with the National Center of Women's Activities. Vital message of interest to all.
Thank you, Paul Hughes. We are broadcasting direct from the Phoenix Women's Club, located at 603 North 1st Avenue, across the street from the post office. There are several hundred women represented here today, in fact, thousands, I should say, to honor the Central District Committee of the Federated Women's Clubs, which comprises 40 different clubs. The Phoenix Women's Club was founded in 1900 to further civic, educational, and philanthropic activities. Today our program is a serious one, for these are serious times. In the President's State of the Union message, he emphasized the uncertainty of times ahead and said, "Far more precious than peace are freedom and justice." During this chaotic period of our history, when we are mobilizing the spiritual and material resources of our nation to fight tyranny and protect the free people throughout the world, it is appropriate that we hear at this time from Captain Kenneth Henke of the United States Army Officer Reserve Corps. Captain Henke.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Horace. I have a direct appeal to the college graduates in the area of Phoenix, specifically those young women who have yet to choose a career in their future.
Perhaps, Captain, you'll give us just a little detail on this subject.
Very glad to, Mrs. Horace. First of all, I would like to point out the mission of the Women's Army Corps. As most of you know, the mission of the Women's Army Corps is to provide for the assimilation and appropriation and utilization within the Army of voluntary women power throughout this entire nation. The Corps, led by a group of trained and experienced officers, is so constituted as to be able, in time of dire emergency, to immediately expand.
Perhaps you'll give us some of these assignments, can you, Captain?
The assignments, Mrs. Horace, are varied and many. In fact, there are few careers available to the young women of America which offer such a variety of interesting fields in which they can engage as that compared to the various fields offered by the Army. The career of an Army officer is based upon rotation of assignment in a very well-planned and controlled career pattern. These career patterns, obviously, will be influenced by individual aptitudes, by the individual abilities of the girl, and also by her preferences. As one progresses upward in her career ladder, she receives advanced schooling to prepare for the various responsibilities commensurate with her rank and experience. The career pattern is designed to produce versatile and proficient officers capable of filling positions of trust and responsibility throughout the entire Army. Equal career opportunity is afforded every officer through proper selection of her assignment. And with certain exceptions, a woman's career will resemble closely that of the male officer in the Army.
Thank you very much, Captain Henke, for being with us today. We are in full accord with all you've said and know full well that many women of our state will quickly respond to your appeal. While our armed forces are preparing to protect us on the fighting front, here at home on the FBI, we find that the FBI works around the clock to guarantee freedom and democracy, to protect us from sabotage and the fifth column intrigue of communism. Today we have as our guest Mr. William A. Murphy, special agent in charge of the FBI in Arizona. Mr. Murphy will discuss present responsibilities of the FBI as they relate to the critical international situation and the responsibilities of the average citizen to refer to the FBI any matters that you feel bear relation to our internal security. Mr. Murphy, how long has Mr. J. Edgar Hoover been the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation?
Ms. Harless, Mr. Hoover, during the past year, celebrated his silver anniversary as director of the FBI, and within a very few days will complete his 26th anniversary as the director of the FBI.
Has he been the only director, then, that the FBI has had from the very beginning?
No, there were several other gentlemen who preceded him, that Mr. Hoover was appointed by the then Attorney General, Mr. Stone, who later became the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court.
What is the FBI's responsibility in respect to such matters as espionage and domestic communism?
The FBI, Mrs. Harless, and members of the Women's Club and guests, has been delegated the responsibility by the Congress of handling all matters relating to espionage, sabotage, and the various internal security branches, so that we have a fixed and definite duty to make certain that Russian espionage, for example, is contained, and at the same time to handle any possible acts of sabotage which might occur. And many times acts occur that the origin is in a definite question, such as our incident out here on the Southern Pacific Track last Friday night when we found a stick of dynamite underneath one of the rails. And through careful investigation, we were able to determine that this act was not the result of any foreign-inspired sabotage, nor any domestic-inspired sabotage, but rather an ill-advised and ill-conceived prank, you might consider, on the part of some young boys here in Phoenix.
Mr. Murphy, are there any leading cases now in court on these communistic matters?
Yes, we have now pending before the United States Supreme Court probably the most important case that we have ever handled that relates directly to domestic communism. Perhaps all of you recall that a little over a year ago, after a rather long and tedious trial in the courthouse in New York City, 11 members of the National Committee of the Communist Party were tried and convicted of a violation of the Smith Act, which is an act that makes it an offense for persons to conspire to overthrow the United States government by force and violence. That case was tried before the Honorable Judge Medina, and during the course of the trial, it was necessary for the FBI to expose many people that we had acting as informants, if you will, in the Communist Party itself. They were not FBI employees, but rather people that we had gone to and appealed to from a number of various standpoints to function in the party in our behalf. And so when the case came on to trial, it was necessary to bring these people, some of them actually being leading party functionaries, in, and much to the amazement and surprise of the defendants, these people appeared and testified for the United States government. And thus that case resulted in exposing, perhaps for the first time, the general pattern of the Communist Party as an organization definitely committed to the overthrow of our government.
Mr. Murphy, what about the communist situation here in Arizona? Only recently we read in our newspapers about an incident occurring, in fact, just within a block of this very building we're in today, just at the cathedral here, whereby a Phoenix woman announced herself publicly as being an active member of the Communist Party, and she asked to be heard. Can you tell us a little about this?
Many people ask, do we have a Communist Party here in Arizona? And the answer is very definitely yes. And the open appearance of one of our Phoenix female residents a little over a week ago in admitting that she was a member of the Communist Party brings, I think, home most realistically the fact that there is a group here in our state who adhere to the principles of communism and are members of the Communist Party of the United States. Now, one thing I believe is extremely significant. As a result of the New York case, the party, in many respects, has gone underground. They no longer hold open meetings. There are no published lists of members. And they have maintained maximum secrecy about their activities. But this individual who appeared here recently and announced who she was and the fact that she was a member of the party, I think makes everyone realize, perhaps for the first time in certain respects, that communism is an active, living, vibrant activity throughout the United States and definitely, at least here in Phoenix. Heretofore, we've had a great deal of nebulous material, you might say. Not anything definite, not any places or person's name. But here we have a woman who's not only willing to be counted as such, but who would openly try to persuade you in open meeting that the communist way of life is the real way of life, right here in our own community.
Just as you've said, Mr. Murphy, every time anything like this cathedral incident comes up, it makes us realize our responsibility to carry on a constant educational program to persuade anyone with communistic leanings or anyone who has in the future might have the desire to be that communism is not the answer. It is a challenge to the women here today, to our radio audience, and to the people throughout the nation to feel a responsibility to convince all free peoples that democracy is the best way of life. Can you tell us just briefly, before we leave the air, about the Cook murder case, which we've been reading about today in the papers, Mr. Murphy? We'd like to hear about it.
Just a short time ago, this young boy by the name of William Edward Cook was known in the penitentiary as Little Billy. No one considered him as a very vicious or a very heartless individual, and yet, within the past 2 weeks, this boy has killed at least 6 people. He's exploded mentally, and we consider him one of the most vicious boys that we've had to seek. And I want to say that all the police officers and cooperating agencies have been working with us night and day in an effort to locate this young boy.
Thank you, Mr. William Murphy, for these FBI facts and the vital information that you've given us. I know that our members here today, our radio audience, will remember all you have said and maintain a full alert and feel an individual responsibility to bring to the FBI's attention all pertinent information that will help to bring about the security which you and the FBI are constantly fighting for. And may I take this opportunity to thank Ben Progen and Chet Goldberg of Hanny's for their generosity in making this broadcast possible. And now, Paul Hughes.
You have just heard Arizona Close-Ups, presented by Meredith Harless at the bi-monthly Phoenix Woman's Club meeting to honor the Central District Committee of the Federated Women's Clubs. This program has come to you through the courtesy of Hanny's at Adams and First Street, where the wise shopper will find the best buy. Meredith Howard Harless, known to radio and television audiences in the nation's capital and our state's capital, will be back with you again at the same time next Tuesday, when she will interview Susan Peters of motion picture fame and other stars who will be featured in The Barretts of Wimple Street. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:15 for Arizona Close-Up.
Transcribed. KTAR, Phoenix.